I love this gospel. I was reflecting on it, and as I thought about everything that Jesus was trying to instruct his disciples with and trying to let them know and trying to fill them with, I actually thought of my last year at Major Seminary at Mundelein. I was a deacon, and we had just started spring break, and I wasn't in a big hurry to go home because going home would include doing lots of preparatory work for my upcoming ordination and all of those details. So I was taking it easy. I was just taking it kind of slow. The spring break starts after your last class on Friday, and I found myself here on Saturday morning. You know, I was just having a slow morning and enjoying myself. And it was pretty empty across the school. The other detail to bear in mind at this particular moment is that third-year students at Mundelein had a chance to go to the Holy Land for kind of a mini accelerated coursework. They're going for about 8 weeks, and they see a lot of the Holy Land. It's really great. All the third years came back about 3 days before spring break started, so all the third years were back and, you know, just starting to get back in the swing of things as well. And then we went on spring break, so obviously their lives were hard, but I was sitting in my room, I was minding my own business, and I heard someone shout in the hallway, "Is anybody still here?" And like the groundhog waiting to get shot, I stuck my head out to see what was going on. And sure enough, one of the guys who lived on my floor, his name was Tom, he's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful priest for Chicago now. Tom said to me, "Can you help me? The battery on my car is dead, I need a jump. And I was wondering if you had the phone number for AAA so I could get a jump." And I said to him, I don't need to call AAA, I have jumper cables and a car, we can do this all by ourselves. He said, "Well, it's kind of stuck in the snow." You see, it was a beautiful spring break. It was the best kind of spring break. It was 55 degrees, and there was about 1.5 inches of snow still on the ground, because there had been so much snow that it had only gotten down to the final 1.5 inches on the ground. So it was the best kind of spring. And I said, "Yeah, but don't worry, we can do that." So I went down, properly attired for the weather, you know, because it was a balmy 55 degrees. I went down in shorts and sandals. And I got in my Jeep, and I pulled out his car, and I jumped in. And as he was running the car to recharge the battery, we both noticed he had a flat tire. And I said, "Where's your jack? Do you have a spare?" And he said, "No, I don't have a spare." And I know that I've been informed, I haven't seen it myself, I've been informed that some new cars don't have spare tires, which is a conversation for another day altogether, and I'm horrified by it. But I looked at him and said, "Are you sure that you don't have a spare?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "How long have you had this car?" He said, "Well, I've had it for 4 years, and it was my father's car before that, and he had it for even longer." I said, "Okay. But you're sure there's no spare?" He goes, "Yes, I'm sure there's no spare." I said, "Do you have a manual?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you read the manual?" He said, "Of course not." I said, "Excellent." So I looked at the car, I've seen the car before, and I said, "You know what, Tom? I bet you anything you want that you have all of the tools you need, you just don't know it." He said, "No, there's no spare." I said, "Okay, watch." So we went over his trunk, I grabbed the felt, and I pulled back on the felt, and right there was a jack, and a lug wrench, and a spare tire. I mean, it's just a donut, but it was a spare tire. I had no idea how long it sat there, so I had no idea if it aired it or not, but I had found the tire. That was the important part of the story. And I said, "Look, you had everything you need. All we have to do is change the tire." He says, "I don't know how to do that." I said, "Don't worry, I will teach you. And if you really want entertainment, by all means, teach someone to change a spare tire. Because it's quite possible the most entertaining thing alive to find someone who has no idea how to do this process, is 30 years old, is mostly a functional adult, and has the foggiest idea how to change the tire on his car. Because you explain to him all these steps, but you don't do it for him, because, you know, how else will they learn? And you let them figure it out. At one point, he actually could not get one of the nuts off, and he actually looked at me and said, "These things are on here really hard." I said, "Well, yeah, they're lug nuts. You want them on really hard at 55 miles an hour when you're flying on the ice an hour expressway." It's a good point. Anyway, my point is, as I was reflecting this problem, really in so many ways, remarking on everything that Jesus is trying to instruct me, he says, "I'm going to the Father. I know I'm about to leave you. I know you're not sure. I know this is uncertain. But here's the thing. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to remind you of everything you need to know. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he'll teach you, but more specifically, he will remind you of what it is I've already told you. You have all the tools you actually need, but I'm going to the Son, the Holy Spirit to remind you what that involves. And then what does he go on to say? He goes on to say, don't be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Now why do we say that? Except that he knew what was going to happen. He knew that we were going to enter into dark times. We were going to enter into uncertain times. We were going to enter into uncertainty and frustration and doubt and all of the unclarity that we absolutely don't want, that troubles our hearts, that makes us afraid, that makes us uncertain. But where do we go? He says, don't be afraid. I'm going away. I'm coming back. And you have everything that you need until I come back. He ensured that every part, every aspect was going to be taken care of. And then much like that car that was actually loaded with everything that it needed, he just didn't know it was there. We have been given every gift we need to continue on in those dark times, in those uncertain times. We go along and an event happens to us, something tragic happens to us, and it throws us for a loop, and we enter into that darkness, we enter that uncertainty. Or maybe we've been praying along a certain way, and suddenly that prayer isn't working the way it used to be. You know, God used to be right by our side, we knew it was there, but then suddenly we continue in that prayer, but it just isn't the same. We enter into confusion or doubt or this lack of certainty that leads us to all kinds of questions about why we're here and what really is going on. And we have to come back to these words. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid, because I send you the Holy Spirit who will teach you and remind you of everything that I have told you. But it requires faith. It does require on our part that we have faith, that we continue to grow in faith, that we continue to grow in this theological virtue that allows us to remember that we're not in charge, that it is in fact God who is in charge. It is in fact God who looks after every aspect of our life. It is in fact God who actually takes care of so many things within our world and gives us so many good things. And it's only really when we forget that it's supposed to be God who's in charge that we really enter into our greatest struggles, that we really enter into those greatest hardships and greatest difficulties. I want to challenge you to allow your faith to grow in your life, to allow faith to continue to be that necessary cornerstone that our life is built on. Because then we'll have no reason to be afraid. We'll have no need for our hearts to be troubled. You know, it's a funny thing. As Tom was driving away to go see the mechanic and see about fixing his tire, he said, you know, I don't think angels always dress in white. I think sometimes they dress in basketball shorts and sandals. I said, Tom, if you ever accuse me of being an angel again, I will hide and steal all of your buttons. And he drove off, so I don't know anybody thought that. What we absolutely need is faith. Not just as a blind reaching out to something uncertain, but a genuine trust in a God who is so much bigger than ourselves, that we can enter into his remarkable love and mystery and know that we have everything that we need in him.